Welcome to the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange. Today's topic is using custom property and CCDT file to connect to WebSphere MQ multi-instance queue managers for WebSphere Application Server version 7. Today's presenter is Ankil Becerra. Ankil is a member of the WebSphere MQ support team for Unix and Windows platforms. He has experience with the JMS clients of WebSphere MQ and WebSphere Application Server. At this time, I would like to turn the presentation over to Ankil.
Hello, Joseph. Thank you very much. Hello, MQ fans. Thank you very much for joining me with this webcast. Let me take a deep breath to say the long title for this presentation without a breathing break. Using custom property and CCDT file to connect to WebSphere and queue multi-instance queue managers from WebSphere application server version 7. Okay. Well, now that is out of the way. Hello, my name is Angel Rivera. That's in Spanish. And English is Angel Rivera, and you can call me that. I work with the WebSphere and queue level 2 support team for Unix. One of my specialties is the connectivity and interaction of WebSphere application server. I will use the term WAS or app server for short. And WebSphere NQ. I will just use NQ for short in this presentation. Next page, please. Page 2. The agenda for this presentation is to start with the objective and problem statement. Then, I will explain that the retry connectivity from WAS uses its own retry mechanisms instead of the MQ automatic client reconnect feature, which was introduced in MQ version 7.0.1. I will talk about the prerequisites, and I will mention a technical document that has a sample MDV that you can download and install in order for you to experiment with the procedures mentioned in this presentation and in related tech docs. There are two ways to tell WAS which queue managers to use. One, the easiest one, the first in the list, is using a custom property called connection name list via the WAS administrative console to a connection factory or an activation specification. And the second way is to use a file that is created by the MQ manager. It's called the client channel definition table, or CCDT. Also, I will be discussing the concept of queue manager groups. By the way, this concept is not the same as the similar-sounding name of queue sharing group, which is only available for NQ on ZOS. Next page, please. Thank you. This is page 3, objective. What is the objective of this presentation? I would like to describe how to exploit from the app server the connection to multiple queue managers, including the multi-instance queue managers features that were introduced in 7.0.1, by using inside the specification of a connection factory or an activation specification, which are GNDI objects for JMS, the file, MQ client channel definition table, or the custom property connection name list. I know that there are many keywords and concepts, and I will try to explain them in the next slides. Next page, please. Page 4. What is the problem to be solved? Okay, let's talk about it. Let's start with an application that is running in WAS. This application can be a message-driven bean, or MDB, which only receives messages, or an enterprise Java bean, an AGB, which can send and or receive messages. I will be concentrating only on MDBs for this presentation. The MDB uses facilities provided by WAS to perform the connectivity with the queue manager and to send or to receive messages. The protocol that is used is the Java Message Service, or JMS. The application server ships with a default messaging system. It's also called the System Integration Bus, or the SIB, and also ships an MQ client code that provides JMS functions. In version 6 of WAS, there were 3 jar files. In version 7 of WAS, it is called the MQ Resource Adapter, and it is a RAR file that contains many, many different jar files. In this presentation, I am not going to talk about the SIB. I will be talking about the NQ as being the JMS provider for WAS. Therefore, when I say the JMS client, I'm referring to the NQ classes for JMS, the portion that is included with WAS. The MDB interacts with an object that represents the queue manager. What is the queue manager name, the IP address, other properties like that. Therefore, when the MDB says to WAS, hey, give me a message, okay, then from it has to specify which is the queue manager. This specification of the queue manager, it is stored in an object that is in the directory of resources called JNDI, and it is listed under the resources tab in the left navigational panel of the administrative console under JMS. And there are two types of objects that can be used with WAS version 7, a connection factory or an activation specification. By the way, in WAS version 6, NQ only works with connection factory. It doesn't work with activation specification. This presentation is focused on WAS version 7, therefore I will be using both connection factory and activation specification. Now, the problem really to solve is the following. If the queue manager has a problem and the JMS client is no longer able to receive messages from that queue manager, is there a way for the JMS client to interact with another queue manager in order to keep sending, well, receiving messages? Yes, there are two ways which are discussed in this presentation. Next page, please. Let me explain to you the problem using these figures. In the left side, we have a WebSphere application server. It has a connection factory. And we have identified that we want to work with two queue managers, queue manager 1, which is at port 1414, and queue manager 2, which is at port 1415. The queue managers are not inside the WebSphere application server. What I mean is there is a connection factory, and the connection factory has two entries. One for one queue manager and the other entry for the other queue manager. On the right side, we have two boxes that represent two different queue managers. The top one is the queue manager 1 at port 1414. The second is the second manager at port 1415. They could be in the same host. They could be in different hosts. Could be across the country. In this presentation, we don't care. Now, what we are trying to show here is that right now, the connection factory is working, the JMS client is working with the queue manager 1 that is at port 1414. That's the purpose of the arrow on the top, okay? Then again, we have an MDB, is connected to the connection, using the connection factory, and is receiving messages from queue manager 1 at port 1414. Now, let's go to the next page, please. Page number six. In this case, what happens if there is a problem either with the network? I mean, we lose that MDB, loses the connection, is no longer able to receive messages. Again, it could be a network problem. It could be that the queue manager went down, the host went down, etc. Now, let's go to the next page for what is the desired behavior that we want. What we want is that the JMS client, upon detecting that it's not able to talk anymore with the queue manager 1, it will go to the connection factory and says, hey, do you have another queue manager that I could try? Yes, there is another queue manager. It's a port 1415 and he's in this host or whatever. Then the JMS client will try to connect to queue manager 2, and hopefully this time it will be successfully connected. And the MDB will continue to receive messages, okay? That's the whole problem that we are trying to solve. And let's go to the next page, please. Page number 8. One of the things that the challenges that I had early on when I was trying to get familiar with MDB is that I couldn't get a good sample MDB out there. I wanted something simple that was still functional. And because I wanted to see, okay, if I put a queue message, a message over here in this queue manager, I want to see that the message is received, what happens if I want to do retries, what happens to poison messages, et cetera, et cetera. I couldn't find a really good sample. I found some that they were really complicated and or very old. I decided to write my own, and I wrote a technical report, and I wrote also the sample MDB. And here it is. It is, if you go to the IBM website and you search for using WebSphere NQ version 7 as JMS provider for WebSphere application server version 7. It contains the following. It contains chapter 1, which is, it tells you step by step how you can configure NQ for a queue and a topic. The topic is used for publish and subscribe methodology. The chapter two, it tells you how to do from the WAS administrative console, how you can create the connection factory, the JMS destinations, etc. And then you can download the ear file that is mentioned at the bottom, sample mdvjdb.ear, and the tech doc describes to you how, step by step, how you can, what you can do to install and run the property and the tech doc, the MDB, and there are instructions on how you can test it. The main thing about this MDB is this: when it receives a message, it will read the text from the message body, and it will display into the systemout.log a line that will be plus 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 sample MDB colon and the text that was in the message. Therefore, when I'm doing the testing, I have two windows in front of me. In one, I'm doing a tail space minus f space systemout.log, which is a Unix command that will just show any new messages that have been appended to the systemout.log. And in my other window, I'm having like an amqs put command to put a message. Then I put a message in one window with MQ, and I should see within seconds that a new line called plus 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 sample MDB and the text that I included. I found it very useful, and I will encourage you, if you want to become more familiar with JMS, to download and play with it. Okay, let's go to next page, please. Page number 9. One thing that I wanted to clarify is this. In MQ 7.0.1, we introduced two very important features. One is called the multi-instance queue manager, and which allows the same data, the same queue manager, to run in two different hosts using like a network file system, NFS mounted directories. The other function, which is complementary, it is called the automatic client reconnection, which allows C-based code and JMS standalone applications that use NQ to be able to detect that the queue manager went down, and it will try to wait a few seconds or even minutes and try to reconnect. And also, in case that we are using different multi-instance queue managers or even multiple queue managers, we can tell the client, hey, instead of going to queue manager 1, go to queue manager 2, queue manager 3, and so on. All that code is part of the NQ client. However, I need to clarify that when using WAS, that new function of NQ is not being used. Instead, WAS includes some retry mechanisms that are available for listener ports and activation specifications. Again, I just wanted to clarify that we are using the facilities from WAS in terms of trying to reconnect, not the facilities from NQ. Let's go to page 10, please. Page 10. Okay, this is notes. Whenever I wanted to convey something that too much text or something, I use this type of slides. And here I just, in case you need to tell to your boss, well, this is the official site from IBM in which it tells me that we cannot use the automatic client reconnect for MQ, but instead is the WAS retry mechanisms. That's the purpose of the first link. Also, in case you want to know more about automatic line reconnection in MQ, that's the bottom link. I don't want to spend too much time with this automatic line reconnection because it's not being used by WAS. Okay? Next page, please. Page 11. There are some properties in WAS that I would like to bring to your attention. In WASP version 6, we can use only listener ports. In WASP version 7, we can use both listener ports and activation specifications to interact with NQ. The listener ports are being considered now to be deprecated, which means that maybe in WASP version 8 may not be available. That's the whole idea of deprecating something, but it's still they are available in version 7. There are four properties, and they are explained in the link mentioned in this page, number 11. And, I'm sorry, these are the activation specifications. Sorry, I went a little bit ahead of myself. There are four properties that you can modify from activation specification. And there are two that really are important for MQ, and they are explained in the next page. Next page, please. Page 12. There are two particular properties. One is called the reconnection retrying count, and the value, the default value is 5. It means maximum attempts of 5. When the activation specification detects there is a broken connection, it will wait a certain amount of time, and then it will retry. If that doesn't work, it will wait and then retry. It will not try forever. After 5 times, it will stop. Okay? The next property is this reconnection retry interval, which is a string of 300,000 milliseconds, which means 300 seconds, which means 5 minutes. This is very important. I wanted to mention this to you because with activation specifications, it will try to wait 5 minutes before trying to do the next connection by default. It means that if there is a problem with the network and the JMS client is not able to connect, it will not try to reconnect to the second queue manager during 5 minutes. After 5 minutes, it will try to reconnect. Then I suggest if you're experimenting, try to lower this value to something maybe 30,000 or something. Otherwise, you may be frustrated because thinking that it doesn't work. Well, it is working, but it's just you will have to wait 5 minutes in order to take into account. Next page, please. Page 13. Okay, now we can talk about listener ports. Okay, the listener port it has several properties, and the main one really. Sorry, there are two, really. Maximum recovery tries, which is the same purpose. I mean, how many times you are going to try to reconnect before stopping the listener port. And also the recovery retry interval is how often. And this number by default is shorter. Then if you are experimenting with listener ports, you will see that the reconnection will happen faster. Let's go to the next page, please. Page 14. We are going to talk about some prerequisites. The first one is that the version of the MQ-JMS client must be 7013 or later. Right now we are at 7014. And if you're trying to use the client with a previous version, even though the 7010 introduced the automatic client reconnection and so on, there's some bugs when he was working with WASP. Then in 7013 really is the minimum version that you should use. Now, but this is the version of MQ, but we are talking about WASP. Then let's go to the next page, please. Page number 15. And the minimum version of WASP 7, it is 7013. The version of the MQ resource adapter that is shipped with this version of WASP has the MQ version of 7013, which was mentioned in the previous slide, okay? Now, for those of you who may not know how to find out what is the mapping, well, I have this version of WASP. What is the version of the MQ JMS client that is shipped? There is a techno mentioned at the bottom of this slide, which is which version of MQ is shipped with WebSphere application server, and includes also for version 6 of WASP. Let's go to the next page, please. The next prerequisite, when using the MQ JMS version 7 client within WASP, you need to keep in mind that the user ID that is passed to the MQ queue manager is the user ID that starts the WASP processes, such as root or WSID, admin. Sorry, there was a misspelled typo. WSID is WASP admin. Okay. Anyway, it is critical that this user ID must have the proper authorities defined in all the hosts where the MQTT managers are running. Otherwise, you will get security authorization failures with the recent code 2035, NQRC not authorized. Then if you see this 2035, NQRC not authorized, very likely is that the user ID does not have the proper authorities. And the reason for this is if you're working well with QManager 1 and then when you do the reconnect to QManager 2 and it fails, take a look at the logs, and if you see 2035, it means that the proper configuration in QManager 2 was not totally done. Then it's necessary to do more steps there. Next page, please. Page 17. Okay. Remember that in WASP version 7, it ships the NQ resource adapter. Now, with WASP version 6, we ship 3 jar files, and we don't want you to touch those 3 jar files. But those jar files, by the way, they are old versions of MQ, is version 6 and so on. But hey, you want to get the MQ version 7.0.1.3. How can you do that? Well, what you can do is in WASP, in the machine where you have WASP installed, you install the MQ client at 7.0.1.3 or later, and then you go back to WASP using the administrator console, and then you do environment, and then web series variables, and you define, or sorry, you modify a system variable called MQ install root. And that by default is pointing to a directory inside the WASP directory structure, which includes those 3 files that I mentioned. However, you just change the value to /opt/mqm, for example, if you were using Linux. Okay? For more details on how you can do the configuration, you can go to Chapter 2, Configuration. In Chapter 4, on the following tech doc that is called MQ 5.3, 6, and 7, GMS provider was 5, 6, 7, and so on. I wrote this tech doc. It's a long one, but it includes all the differences between the MQ's version, the different versions of MQ and WASP, and Chapter 4 in particular is how you can do it for what is necessary to do bindings transport and local native MQ libraries. If it's not the subject of this presentation, then let's move on. Next page, please. Page 18. Okay. We mentioned that one of the approaches for solving the problem is to use a file called CCDT, which is the client channel definition table. This is a file that is created, actually, when you install MQ, the Q manager, you create a Q manager, the file is created. And when you run MQSC or MQ Explorer to create connections and so on, that file will be appended. However, the utility of running QSC or the MQ Explorer will not show you the contents of that file. Then at the beginning for me was a little bit frustrated because sometimes I will have different CCDTs because I wanted to have different variations of things, but I couldn't see completely the contents of the files. One quick way, which is very rough, is just to display the contents in editor or do cat command in Unix and so on. But it's too rough. You don't know exactly. It's a binary format, and you see all these strange characters and so on. Then I ask around, and they tell me, hey, there is already a support pack for this, and I found it very useful. The support pack is M, the letter O, uppercase, 72. If you try to do M072, it will not work. It's M072. And there is a utility that instead of call run MQSC, is just plain MQSC. And it's a category 2, which means that it's not supported by my team, but it's very solid. You are welcome to try. And the nice thing about this utility, you can give it the full directory for the CCDT file, and then you can query. You can do query display channels and so on. And in that way, you can use it to find out more details on that CCDT file. I found it very useful if you have multiple CCDT files. Let's go to the next page, please. Page 19. Okay. We mentioned at the beginning that we have two ways. One is using the custom property, connection name list, and the other is the CCDT file. Let's talk to this one. I wanted to mention this one first because it's the easiest, okay? handling the CCDT file, there are more steps. It could be a bit confusing. You have to look at the contents, etc. Using the custom property is straightforward. This works for both connection factories and activation specifications. Okay? And I wanted to provide more details that, unfortunately, were not possible in this presentation, the webcast. Then I wrote a technical document that is called Using Custom Property Connection Namelist to Use Web3's MQ Multi-Instance Queue Managers with WAS version 7. Now, in this tech talk that I mentioned, I have the luxury to go step-by-step using snapshots, screen captures, and how to test, what to look for, what are the different errors that you will see in the system out of log during the switchover, how to do these things. It's a rather long document, but if you are interested in doing that, in knowing more the details, I would suggest for you to consult this technical document. And from that technical document, I extracted some things for the next slides. Next, let's go to the next page, please. Okay. The key item for the NQ classes for JMS is, in order to connect to multiple queue managers, is to use a custom property that lists the queue managers. Okay? This property is called connection name list. I suggest if you follow that this convention with the N of name in uppercase and L of list in uppercase, since that you use all, it may not be case sensitive, but I have not tried. I have tried only this thing, and I know that it works using this particular spelling. Let's go to next page, please. Okay, well, how do you use this connection name list property? Okay, it has the list of the TCP/IP connection names. The list is important. The order in the list is important because it will go from the leftmost, the first item that is in the list, and there is a comma, and then the second, and so on. Then if you have 10 items, the retry mechanism is going to item number 2. If that fails, we'll go to item number 2. If that fails, we'll go to 3, and so on. Okay? The format is host name, between parentheses, the port number, and comma. Okay? The host name can be either the DNS name, like a host.ibm.com or something, or the IP address 1234 point or whatever. And if you don't specify a port, the default of 1414 will be assumed. Let's go to the next page, please. And here, example. An example is veracruz.x.com, parentheses 1421, in the parentheses, comma, cvhxcom 1421. Okay? This means that NQJMS client will try to connect first to host Veracruz at port 1421. If he cannot connect, okay, then the client will try the next host name, Civic, port 1421. Okay, it's rather straightforward. Let's go to the next page, please. However, there is a caveat. You have to ensure that the host name and the port fields in the administrative console are filled in with a single host name and port, okay? These fields do not support a list of multiple items. At the beginning, I was thinking that it was possible. Then I put Veracruz 1414, Seabeach 1415, and then when I was doing the experimentation, I'd fail and look at their messages, and I saw that the whole host name was Veracruz, Seabeach, and so on. It was the whole string was considered to be the host name, which is not. I wanted two hosts, but it was not able to parse it. Then I wanted to give a warning, in that way you don't spend too much time trying to do that. Also, in the port, if you put several port numbers, only the first, the whole thing is considered to be the port number, okay? Then, again, from the administrative console, the host name and port, whatever you put there is considered to be the single item, okay? Next page, please. Okay. Now, this is a screen capture of the connection factory, and I'm going to show you there that in host name and port, I have only one host name, and in the port field, only one port. Okay? Even though in the connection name list, a custom property, I will have multiple. Okay? Then let's go to the next page, please. Now, When you create the connection name list attribute, the first entry in that attribute must be the name, host name and the port number specified in the fields host name and port that in the administrative console. I don't understand exactly why, but I found it. I'm just passing this information to you. Next page, please. Okay, how do we create this custom property? This is from our connection factory. By the way, you reach the connection factory by from the left navigation panel. You click resources, and then you expand JMS, and then you just click on the connection factory. The same thing will happen if you choose a queue connection factory and topic connection factory, the same behavior, okay? Then we'll concentrate with the general one. Then you're going to the right side of the thing on the additional properties. You click on custom properties. Next page, please. This is page 27. And then you will see a window in which you click new, and then you enter the name of a property called connection name list. And in the field for the value, you put Veracruz, the port number, comma, the next host, port number, etc. Okay? The default is to have a type of a string, then don't touch it. Then you just modify the name and the value, and then just press OK. Go to the next page, please. Okay, this is what will look like. Okay, we have a name, we have a value, and the type. The next page, please. This will be page 29. One thing that I need to mention about GNDI was whenever you add, you modify a new JMS item, like a connection factory, or just modify a connection factory, or do something, you must restart the application server. Okay? Otherwise, things will not be working properly for you. Then it's something that if you want to do things with JMS, try to do them in a batch mode in the sense that prepare in advance all the changes that you want to do, do them, restart the server. Otherwise, if you plan to do something now and then an hour later another thing with JMS, you will have to restart the WAS server every time. Okay? From that technical document, 7020700, I mentioned the first chapters. What was the purpose? It's chapter number 3 is the switchover testing of the sample MDB. And then what you can do is we have also chapter for the activation specification. Chapter 3 is for listener ports. And chapter 5 is for troubleshooting. It will show you step by step what are the things that you need to do for testing, what are the messages that you will see in the system output log. In chapter 5, troubleshooting is if you see these error, other error messages, this is most likely the meaning. Let's go to the next page, please. Okay. This is page 30, and we are going to talk about the second method for trying to connect MDB to multiple queue managers. And this one is more complicated. It's called the client channel definition table, and this is the CCDT. Likewise, I did for the connection name list property. I created a different standalone document that is called using a CCDT file to connect to MQ multi-instance queue managers from WAS version 7. And I did exactly the same. I tell you step by step how you can create a CCDT, how you can copy into another machine, what are the variables that you need to do in order to work properly, how you can configure things in WAS, how you can run it, how you can explore things, and so on. And I took some of that material into this presentation, and I'll show you that material in the next slides. Next slide, please. Page 31. Creating a CCDT. You can look at that chapter 2 of the technical document mentioned in page 30, and either you can use the run MQSC commands or the MQ Explorer to create it. And just because it's a little bit more flexible, I'm using the run MQSC commands. The reason is that you could decide to create your own script, and then you can run it later on using run MQSC. With MQ Explorer, you have to enter everything by hand. You cannot do things in batch mode in MQ Explorer. Then if you want to do a CCDT table that has 100 entries, I will suggest for you to do the run MQSC instead of doing the MQ Explorer. Next page, please. 32. Thank you. Okay. And with the CCDT variables, It is very important that whenever you are going to prepare your CCDT, you need to make sure that you are pointing to the proper location for the CCDT, and there are two variables. One is called mqchlib, the location for the directory, and the other one is the name of the file. And the name of the file is, the default is mqclchtab, and if you don't modify that, then it will be fine. Then, again, this is used when creating the CCDT. When it's created, once you don't have to specify that. Next page, please, page 33. The reconnection mechanism works on the principle of something called the queue manager groups, which I explain a little bit more at the end of the presentation, but I just wanted to give you an introduction. And if you want to know more about the queue manager groups, you can visit the link mentioned in that page at the bottom. Let's go to the next page, please, page 34. And, a queue manager group is a set of connections defined in the client channel definition table. The set is defined by its members having the same value of the QM name, queue manager name, attribute in their channel definitions. The example in this document uses the following. I have a queue manager group. The QM name is called QMMI1. This is for a multi-instance queue manager, and I will specify that host 1 is the host name Veracruz at port 1421, that the host 2 is Seabeach at port 1421. And let's go to the next page, please. In the next page, page 35, and the tech doc mentioned here, it tells you how to configure and run 6 scenarios. Actually, there are 7. I added one yesterday that exploit queue manager groups. This is a different tech doc. I'm really going to really a lot of detail on how you can create the CCDT using queue manager groups. When do you want to use queue manager groups? There are several possibilities. One is for a multi-instance queue manager. Another is if you want to be able to have a list of queue managers and reconnect to a different one in case it comes back. And there are several ways. Queue manager groups were introduced in version 6. That's when you specify a queue manager name with an asterisk at the beginning of the name when using the MQ connection. And this tech doc that mentioned in this page is the one that tells you more how you can explore it in version 7. Because there is in the information center in version 7 has far more details than the version 6 documentation, and includes also the multi-instance queue managers. Let's go to page 36, please. Page 36, and is an example of running QSC for multi-instance. First, you log in as the QM administrator. We need to create a server connection channel and each queue manager that is going to be used for the client connection channel. And that's the specification. Define the channel name. Channel type is server connection. And TR type is TCP/IP replace. That's rather easy. This is just the receiver. Okay. Let's go to the next page, page 37. And now we create a client connection channel. And we define the channel. This channel type is client connection. And con name, this is an important one. In the con name, we put an asterisk, a single quote, and then we put the same format that we use for the connection name list. It's just host 1, parentheses, with the port number, comma, host 2, parentheses, the port number, and so on. Okay? And the other thing is the QM name. The QM name, that's the important one that determines what belongs to a queue manager group. Okay? Let's go to page 38. And in page 38, the interesting problem about if you have several CCDTs, how do you determine what is the contents of each one? Again, it's a binary file. You can just display the contents, but you can use the support pack M. Uppercase 72. Let's go to page 39. And he tells you again more about this utility. I recommend it for you to experiment to become familiar with that in case you use CCDT. Let's go to page 40, please. Okay. Page 40, this is an example of how you can run the NQSC. I will not spend too much time, but I wanted just to give you the information on how you can do it and what are the things that you will notice. Okay, let's go to the next page. And the next page, 42, you will see that what is the output of the display channel. There's also an interesting command. It's called display channel and the attribute of version. In that way, if you're looking at CCDT that was created in version 6 or something, you can determine, oh, that's a client channel version 6. And the reason I mention this is the following. We have had some clients that they are trying to exploit new functions that was added in version 7, like a read ahead or a synchronous put, and their channels were not behaving properly, and it's because they were using older channels, version 6, which do not understand the new features in version 7. Let's go to the next page, please, page 43. Okay, one thing that I want to mention is that when we use the WAS Administrative Console to specify an attribute called the CCDT URL, which is the URL for the CCDT, it is important to use 3 slashes or 1 slash, but do not use 2 slashes. If you use 2 slashes, you'll have some trouble. Okay? Then in this slide, page 43, I'm including some of the valid conventions. Okay, let's go to the next page, page 44. Okay, and this is just an example of what is the CCDT URL that I'm using. As you can see, I'm using file colon 3 slashes, okay? And I have to specify the complete path name for the channel definition table, including the name. It doesn't assume anything, okay? Let's go to page 45. Then when you define the connection factory, you just go to the administrative console, select under resources the GMS connection factories, and then you have to specify to use the WebSphere MQ messaging provider. And the next window, then you enter the desired data, such as sample the name of the factory, the GNDI name. By convention, you use the name, the above name, but you prepend JMS slash, and you specify that transport is client, it's not binding, and that the connection method will be the client channel definition table, and you enter file column slash slash, MQ, the whole name, and then you enter the queue manager name. Next page, please. If you are using activation specifications, then you can also do it in the same way. Okay, page 47. You will have the opportunity to click to test the connection. I highly recommend that you click on that button to say test connection. If you receive a message, stop. Do not continue with the creation of that connection factory or activation specification. Address the problem, fix it until you click the test connection and it works fine. Next page, please. Page 48. Okay. This is how you can test the CCDT. For a step-by-step procedure, you can look at the mention tech dot 7020701 in Chapter 4. Switch over testing on the sample MDB listener port. And with the test one, we do this. We do messages that are passed to the MDB from host one. Test number two is, in that way, we have a baseline. Then in test number two, that's when we do the switch over for host one to host two. For example, I stop in the queue manager in the host one. And then test number three is the MDB gets the messages from the other queue manager. And I'm showing in every one of those sections what are the messages that you will see in the system out.log. Again, we have a Chapter 5 that is for activation specifications and a corresponding Chapter 6 for troubleshooting. Let's go to page 49, please. In page 49, I'm just listing the main references. These are the technical documents, one for the custom property, connection name list, and the other is for the CCDT. I want them to keep them separate because otherwise a single unified document will be rather long and could be a little bit confusing. Let's go to the next page, please, page 50. We have the first entry there is that tech doc that has a sample NDB. I will recommend if you are new to JMS and NDB to download it and try. By the way, if you have WAS6, I have a corresponding technical document that it has similar title that is for WAS6. It's exactly the same in sample NDB. It's a slightly different configuration, what you need to do. And then the second entry here is that tech doc about how you can use the CCDT for queue manager groups. And let's go to the next page, page 51 for references. This is just for the Information Center for MQ, the version 7 for WAS, and some other links. And let's go to page 52, please. Page 52. This chart includes links to a number of sites that provide valuable online resources for WebSU products. Visit the page site to learn more about upcoming page webcasts, like the ones you attended today, and access previously recorded presentations. DeveloperWorks offers in-depth technical information. Visit WebSeer.org for user group information and more product information. The IBM Education Assistant consists of self-help modules to get new users up the learning curve quickly. The SR tool is for Passport Advantage clients to open, update, and view PMRs online. And the My Notifications link on all product support pages lets you sign up for weekly email updates for products of interest to you. Now, I would like to pass the control back to Joseph.
Thank you, Angel, for a great presentation. At this point in time, Jackie, we would like to open the lines for questions.
Troy Wells, your line is open.
Thank you. Yes, I have really two questions. First, I want to make sure I heard you correctly. Here at Sunjust, we've been testing CCDTs with WAS version 6.1 and MQ7013. And I just want to make sure I heard you correctly that that is a supported type configuration by IBM as well?
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah, as long as the MQ install root is pointing to MQ7013 code.
Okay, perfect. That's what we did.
Okay.
The second question I've got is throughout that testing, I was using the SOAP UI to simulate a client user communicating to a WAS MDB. And I was also using multi-instance queue managers, and again, using the CCDT configuration.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things I saw that whenever I failed over the queue manager, my client session seemed to just die immediately, you know, pretty much like WAS. When WAS figured out I had to switch over to the other queue manager, the MDB session I had, it killed it as well. My assumption is that, you know, that's kind of just part of the, you know, that's something you may not can overcome because you're dealing with client connectivity to MQ, but I just wanted your input on that, if there's any kind of configurations to help keep a session open for a client.
Are you using XA, the transaction-oriented things?
Well, my test did not have that. You know, not to say it wouldn't come up later, but my test was very, really, very basic.
Okay.
So, no.
Okay. Because just a little warning about XA. XA and reconnection do not work together because none of the context set up that for XA is transferred to the other host. Just to let you know. No, I don't have any further ideas, but I will welcome you if you could send me an email with more details and maybe some snapshots of the systemout.log or things like that. My user ID is in the first page of this presentation.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Our next question comes from Govind Ram. Your line is open.
I have a set up. The presentation explains about the CCDT using multi-instance queue manager. I have a setup with the clustered queue manager.
Mm-hmm.
So using that configuration, will the CCDT is applicable to
yes.
that kind of?
Yes, yes. This the CCDT can be used for multi-instance queue managers and also for just different queue managers that are in a cluster, queue managers that are not multi-instance, and so on. It's just multiple ones.
The next one I would like to have is the load balancing on that perspective. Will that be available in ECAST? Because the presentation does not specify anything about load balancing, though.
No, that's right. In this presentation, the CCDT documents that I have written for this presentation and the one about how to do queue manager groups assumes that you are using the default value for client weight. That client weight is one of the most important ones for load balancing. And this is for not clusters. If you have some clusters, then there are two other properties, network priority and the other one, I forgot the name, that will tell you different things, different behaviors for load balancing. I would like to prepare a presentation for later on about the load balancing. And if you can send me an email with your email address, then I would like to send to you an email when a presentation or a technical document has more details about that.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Shyam Gotti. Your line is open.
Thanks for this presentation. The question around the WAS6 connecting to multi-instance queue manager. So I have heard, I mean, just to confirm first, I have heard if we install MQ version 7 client on the WAS6 application server, that would give us the ability to connect to and operation, I mean, get the functionality
that's
the multi-instance queue.
Yes, that's correct.
Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. And my second question is this, if I don't have multi-instance queue manager, on the other hand, if I have a same queue manager on two different servers, on server 1, server 2, if I have the same queue manager, do I have to have this first queue manager, I mean the first server or the queue manager on the first server has to be down in order to trigger this failover, or can I keep the channels in stop state and let this happen, the failover?
I'm sorry, could you repeat the question? I don't think that I fully understand.
Okay, I have a queue manager same queue manager running in two different servers.
Okay,
okay.
You have
one is
an active and the other is kind of a passive or something, or?
Yes. Yes, yes, but they're both up and running, but we only use one at a time, or we ask always, ask our clients to connect to the active one or the production. The BCP one or the DR queue manager will be used as necessary basis. So if the queue manager has to be down in order to trigger this failover, or can the channel, can we put it in a stop state, will that trigger the failover?
Well, if you can stop the client stop the channel for the first queue manager, then the client will determine that the queue manager is down for, I mean, he's not able to reconnect. Then he will try the next one. Then you will not have to actually shut down the first queue manager.
Okay. Thank you. That answers the question.
Okay. Now, if you have in the connection name list, if you're using the attribute, then the first queue manager in the list is the one that it will try first. Then that's something to that you.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And also, if you're using the CCDT, this is in the CCDT, if you will have, for example, two entries, one for the first queue manager and the other for the second queue manager, when not using load balancing, okay, the order, the alphabetical order of the channel name is the one that is the winner. Then if you want the channels to go to the first one, you may call it that channel one, okay? If the other one is channel two, because in the alphabetical order, channel one will come first than channel two, that channel one will be used to do that, okay?
Then if you want them to go to the first one, but you call it channel 2 and the other channel 1, reverse, then you will not get the behavior that you want because it's, again, alphabetical order.
Okay.
Did I answer your question or confuse you more?
Yes.
Okay.
No. You did answer. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Eileen Sullivan. Your line is open.
Hi, Angel. Thank you very much for the presentation.
Oh, thank you.
We're running Windows, and this goes as a follow-up to the load balancing question that the gentleman asked. Within my script, I actually have server client connection channel pairs defined because we do have security exits in place, so it actually becomes more specific to the client implementation, i.e. J2EE, java.net.
Oh, okay.
So I have not seen, so they're like named server and channel and client connection pairs. And so it was my understanding that we would use an asterisk within the WAS side to find these pairs that were available to the specific client. Like I did not see the notation wherein the connection name you would specify the multi-host. So is the multi-host within the connection name that you showed in your presentation specific to MI, and this is specific to a clustered, you know, same queues defined in multi-queue managers? Or, because what we were hoping is introducing, we have a clustered configuration. I thought by specifying the CCDT now, I could introduce or swap out and go to MI without affecting the client. But it seems that the definition is slightly different, whether it's MI or the clustering.
From the WAS perspective, I didn't try to put the queue manager name with an asterisk. Then it's something that I will need to try. From the WAS perspective, then outside WAS, there is one of the technical documents that I mentioned, listed in the reference, is how to use the CCDT with queue manager groups, and precisely one of them is regarding clusters. Then maybe you can consult that. And it's using when to use the star, the asterisk, before the queue manager name. But what I would like to do is, if you don't mind, also send me an email with more details, and then let me try to do some further experimentation or try to better answer your question.
Yeah, that would be great, because actually the configuration that we have is WebSphere Commerce, talking to WebSphere, you know, writing on WAS, and then talking to MQ, and also using Message Broker. So we have this, you know, kind of like vertical WebSphere solution stack, but I've had difficulty finding a resource that can tell me that, okay, yes, commerce can work with, you know, a CCDT, you know, clustered. There would be no issues with, say, global transactions or anything with multi-instance. So, yes, I will definitely send you the script that I have and ask for commentary because it's different than what you have described in yours.
Okay.
Okay, thank you.
Just a second. You mentioned about global transactions. And this is one of the limitations. When using XA, it's not possible really to do reconnect.
Uh-huh. Okay.
That's a limitation because, as I mentioned before, the context that is necessary for the XA is not transferred from one host to the other. Even though the client knows about it, but the receiver doesn't know about it. And that's the key part.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And just a question about, it seemed that there was, you needed to have a consideration if you were setting up the same named queues in multiple queue managers for that load balancing, that you had to watch message affinity on the client side? Like you potentially had to change the client?
You could use the message affinity if you want, yes.
All right.
And you can specify in the CCDT.
Okay, so the CCTT can guide that. I'm not impacting any of my existing applications by putting this in place.
That's correct.
Then just how they're connecting.
Yes.
The applications themselves do not need to change.
Correct.
Okay.
That's something, the CCTT really, it is for the, your application doesn't talk directly with MQ, with MQ Manager. The application talks to the MQ GMS client. It could be C client or MI client or GMS client. The MQ client is the one that talks to the MQ server. And let me just tell you a little bit that really helped me to understand that distinction is with version 7, we have these automatic client reconnections. Then what I did was in a version 7 machine, I copied from a version 6 machine one of the samples like MQS PUTSI. I copied that version 6 MQSC sample into my MQ7 machine, and I was able to run the automatic client reconnect because the application runs with MQ client. In that case, even though the application was compiled with version 6, the application was in a runtime environment with version 7, and the MQ version 7 client is the one that knows about automatic client reconnection, and I was able to exploit it. Then your application doesn't really need to know. Now, the application may know things if they want to be to explore more features or to be optimized or something. Then, yes, you will need to modify the application. But if you just want to use the basic function, your application is transparent. It doesn't need to know.
Okay, thank you.
Okay.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Medahar Malapati. Your line is open.
Hi, thanks for the presentation.
Thank you.
I have two questions. Okay, my first question is, we have legacy applications running in our environment, and that is using the WebSphere MQ 5.3 server queue manager, and now we are migrating to MQ 7, and we are putting the new queue manager on that MQ 7. So will these legacy applications, which are actually making the connection right now to 5.3 queue managers, will be able to make the connection to 7.0 without any upgrade on the client side?
Correct. Yes. That's one of the strengths in NQ. You can connect clients from any version to the queue managers for any version. There are a few exceptions, but overall is the same. Then the NQ version 7 queue manager knows that when it's receiving messages from an NQ 5.3 client, it knows how to talk to it. The NQ 5.3 client thinks that it's talking to a queue manager that is a 5.3.
Okay. Yeah. Thanks. That answers my question. And my next question is, in our current setup, we have two queue managers running in parallel, like a queue manager cluster.
Okay.
Okay. Right now, we have the queue connection factors defined in the WAS 6 console. Since we our next step is to migrate them to the MQ 7 version.
Mm-hmm.
And how do I actually make the connection from the WAS 7 console? I mean, simply define the queue connection factors with the queue manager name and the host name. Or do I need to specifically use the CCDT to make the connection from the WAS7 console to the queue managers?
Well, from the WAS7 console, I mean, you're using existing connection factories?
Yeah, the queue connection factories. We have defined the queue connection factories in the WAS6 console now.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And directly making the connection to the queue managers using the host name and the queue manager name and the port number by specifying them there.
Yes.
We mm-hmm. have not used the CCDT in the WAS6 environment.
Okay.
So, but since we are moving to WAS MQ7 version using the WAS7 environment, so do we need to use the CCDT or we can simply define those parameters within the queue connection and make the connection?
What I would suggest, the easiest way is to create a custom property called connection name list.
Uh-huh.
And as mentioned in the first part of the presentation, because you don't have to deal with a CCDT. A CCDT involves more steps. Instead of the connection, the custom property is easier to do. And then you can have a kind of more immediate things. The only thing is because you are modifying a JMS object, you will need to restart the WAS server. But I think it's less hassle than using the CCDT, especially if you don't have CCDTs already.
Okay. All right.
Gather from your question that you are just going to upgrade from version 6 to version 7 because these definitions are storing the resources.xml file in one of those many directories that inside WAS. Then if you just upgrade, then those existing connection factories will have the proper host name and port and so on, which you need to enter anyway, and then you can create that custom property.
Okay. No, we already, from the WebSphere perspective, from the WebSphere application server perspective, we already migrated to version 7.
Oh, I see.
And it is connecting to the MQ6 queue managers right now. Oh, so what we are planning to do now is to migrate the MQ6 version to MQ7 version.
I see. I'm sorry. Yes. Yeah, it's the same behavior. Right now, even if you are in your connection factory, well, the important thing is really the client. The client is the one that knows about the reconnection, but the MQ code needs to know also to be able to reconnect. Yeah, because both sides need to be there.
Well, come again? I didn't get it on the last.
Yes, sorry, I was just thinking aloud. Then if you have your existing WASP 7 connection factories working with MQ6, then if you want to do the reconnection when you move to MQ version 7, you don't really need to do anything else, but if you want to do more like multiple queue managers, that's when you will need to do the connection name list. Just for the plain reconnection, WAS, regardless if you have only one host or multiple hosts, WAS will try to reconnect 5 times the listener port or the activation specification for a certain amount of time, and then after that it finishes. But if you want to be able to say that after trying to reconnect, it doesn't do, go to the next queue manager in the list, that's when you will need to have the connection name list or the CCDT.
Okay. So, I mean, since I'm directly making the connection to the queue managers right now, I don't need to make any modifications or changes.
That's correct. You don't need to, yes.
Okay.
The modifications that I mentioned is in case you want to say, well, in case I cannot go to host 1, how do I go to queue manager 2? Those are the configuration changes that you may need to do.
Okay. And I have one more question. If I actually put up a multi-instance queue manager running, and if I want to have the WAS console, I mean, configured to use that multi-instance queue manager, then how do I do it in my WAS console? I mean, like... Is there any specific custom property that I need to define, or simply just define the queue connection factory with the multi-instance queue manager name and the host name and the port number?
Well, for a multi-instance queue manager, we have 2 different IP addresses. That's one of the characteristics of the implementation. You have host 1 and host 2. It's not the same virtual IP address that is transferred by some... There are some scenarios for high availability in which you have 2 different hosts, 2 different IP addresses, but there is like 1 virtual IP address, and the clients do not know really which host they are talking to. With multi-instance queue managers, the clients know explicitly which are the hosts, host 1 and host 2. This is not a single unified virtual IP address. Then for the clients to be able to know, oh, the active instance in host 1 is no longer active. Now there is a switchover to the standby instance, which now becomes the active and now is in host 2. The clients need to know both IP addresses. And what you do is with a connection factory, you create a custom property called connection name list, and you specify the names of the two IP addresses.
Okay.
Again, that's discussing the first part of the presentation. The second is with the CCDT. You can do that, but it's a little bit more complicated.
Okay. Thanks.
You're welcome.
Our next question comes from Chris Pena. Your line is open.
Thanks. This is kind of a question regarding the CCDT,
yes,
and client channels and connections.
Yes.
We had a remote client set up with channel and, of course, the client connection to our queue manager.
Mm-hmm.
Everything works fine. We set up a second one because we're going to be moving over that server to a new one.
Okay.
Just for a lease option, no big deal. So we set up a second connection a channel and a client connection, and the new one that we've created, and we're using MCA users. We haven't gotten to security exits yet. And the second client that I set up, remote client, was still pulling the information from the original's MCA user. So I guess my question was, that CCDT, it goes in order, correct? So if it finds a connection and it's made, and even if it's in the same port, it's going to use that one for the other client connections?
Correct. The order is the alphabetical order of the channel name.
Okay. So it's going to keep going down, and because it was using the same port, the default port, 1414, it's going to use that one regardless of what I have set for that new server, correct?
Correct.
Because of that, and I guess the only way around it is to do security exits?
Let me clarify. If there are two entries in the CCDT for this queue manager group, okay, and the first entry is host 1 on port 1414 and the channel name is channel 1, and the second is channel 2 for host 2 in port 1415, the application, when talking to the queue manager, the client will say, hey, give me a connection. The client will go and grab channel 1 always and try. And if that fails, then it will grab channel 2. But if that doesn't fail, 100% of the time, it will give you always channel 1.
Okay, so it is order. Okay.
Yes.
Because I could not figure out why it was doing it again. This is all kind of new, so.
To modify, you will need to modify something called the client weight attribute for that channel.
Client weight, okay.
Yeah, that's the one that you can break to say, hey, I don't want to do alphabetical order. I want a different order, I mean, for weight. That's the channel weight, CLN weight attribute.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. By the way, the MCA user, the client really doesn't know about the MCA user. The MCA user is just for the server connection portion. Then the client doesn't tell. It just passes the user ID that it has.
That it's authenticating with.
Yes.
All right. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. You're welcome.
At this time, we will conclude the presentation.